to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul and needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul and needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the
Amen. Where could you go but to the Lord? Where else would you want to go but to the Lord? Isn't it good to be in God's house tonight? What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. It's a tremendous opportunity that you and I have to be here tonight. You may have come because somebody made you come, especially if you're children. But I'm going to tell you something, children. This is the best place you could be tonight, is in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad you love to come to the house of God? Aren't you glad you're a Christian tonight? Do you love Him with all your heart? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, what a privilege. What a Savior we're serving tonight. Aren't you glad you love Him? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight.
Let's sing some more of that if you will.
Oh, tell me, where could I go? Yes, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul and needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord? One more time. Oh, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? See,
somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. So glad to have all of you here in the service with us tonight. We just trust that this service will be a blessing to you. Especially glad to have brother and sister Alray Robertson here tonight from South Africa, right here. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. We're certainly honored to have those folks with us tonight in this assembly. Just they mean a lot to us. And Brother Ray, I want you to get ready, if you would, to pray over these prayer requests just in a few minutes, if you would. Brother Amos Cutts sends this in to remember a sister who is being with her family. They're forced to leave her house and move with uncertainty as to a long-term housing. It's been a very stressful on her and her family also. So they're wanting us to just commit that need unto the Lord, help them pray that God would work all the details out. Sister Brenda Harmon says to please pray for Sister Brenda Harmon. She's having severe hip pain and is at the hospital. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Chuck Dixon has gout in his ankle, is in a lot of pain tonight. They're asking that we remember him. Let's just commit that to the Lord. Want to pray for Landon Davis. He's at the hospital with a concussion. And if all goes well, he will be released tonight. So let's pray that that would work out to his good. Want to pray for Sister Sue Sims. Really needs a touch from the Lord. Let's remember our sister tonight in prayer. We'll get to that. That's an announcement. Sister Lena Jones says, please pray for Phoenix Rose McElroy. She's been having stomach issues for a long time. She's my little two-year-old granddaughter. Thanks, and may God bless each one. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Sister Jan Hall says to please pray for me. I am in a lot of pain with two ruptured discs in my neck. She's asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Have an unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need. We just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Terry Horn offers this testimony tonight. I want to thank all the saints who helped pray for my son Brad in Korea concerning a special unspoken request. It worked out wonderful, and we thank the Lord for that. So praise God for that. Also, Brad is now streaming, and I believe he's becoming very, very serious about this message, which is Christ in present-day truth. So we praise the Lord for Brad Horn. And well, he's just a lovely young man with a wonderful family, and we thank the Lord for them tonight. Got some pretty good parents, too, I will have to say. Amen. Sister Sandy Arrowwood says to please pray for my sister Nellie Adams in Mansfield, Ohio. Has breast cancer, congestive heart failure, really needs a touch from the Lord. She is really suffering, so we want to remember that tonight. Brother Terry Horn offers this prayer request also. Please pray for our daughter Julie. She is doing well, but has some infection in her rather large incision. Alice is going up again this week to help Julie with the children, so remember her for traveling mercies and just pray that the Lord would give our sister healing in her body. I want to welcome also to the service tonight, in addition to Brother Alray and his wife from South Africa, I want to welcome the Pugh family from Believers Christian Fellowship in Lima. Where would you folks be tonight? Raise your hand. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Certainly glad to have all of our visitors and all you home folks with us here in this service tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? We've come too far into this program to ever doubt God. He is a healer. He is a savior. He is a wonderful friend. Matter of fact, he's the best friend you'll ever have. Do you love him tonight with all your heart? Let's stand, if you would, Brother Alray, come tonight. We certainly love our brother. Give him one more hand as he comes tonight. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother. It's so good to see you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, brother.
Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change. Amen. Let us just bow our heads. Our gracious and precious and loving, kind, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come and say thank you tonight because you are so great to us, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be part of this great economy that you have given us in this day, Lord, that we can be part of this great message, that we can be part of the standard that you are raising up in this last day to combat the enemy that's out there. But Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight. We know tonight that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot change, Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, You have heard every request. And as I hold them in My hands, Lord Jesus, I pray that You will not only touch and heal, but that You will increase the faith so that we can know that You have already done what You have promised. And so, Heavenly Father, we know tonight that by Your grace, we accept every one of these requests tonight and know that You have already done it. And Heavenly Father, we believe tonight that we can accept it by faith and know, God, that You're in control of every single request. And Lord, as our precious brother comes out to minister, I pray that You'll anoint him once again with Your Holy Spirit to speak the oracles of God. And Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for each and every one that could make it here tonight. I pray that You will bless us. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to take control, that no man will be seen, but that Your Holy Spirit will just go forth and just meet with every need, everything inside of us, Lord, that's crying out for You. I pray that You will just come and meet the needs in the precious and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, before we do anything else, I want you to take 1 second. I want you to point your finger or your hand up. Everybody, if you will, I want you to look up. And I want you to say this. Heavenly Father, we invite You into this service tonight. Without You, it won't be anything. But if You'll come, it'll make all the difference in the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight.
Working on the building.
Glory. Somebody say hallelujah. I believe we're going to have some church here tonight. I hope you come expecting. I hope you come expecting tonight. Somebody say glory. Let's sing this song. You know, we depend on the Lord for a lot of things, for all things. But you know what? He's depending on us too. There's things we've got to do. In this process that we're being built up, in this process that He's taking us through, there's things we got to lay down. There's things we got to quit. We got to do that. We have to do that. We're working on a building. Do you almost see the finish line? Do you see the last coat of paint being put on? Oh, it's a great time to be a Christian. It's a wonderful time to be a believer. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. I'm working on a building. 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 I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. If I was a preacher, working on a building.
a singer, tell you what I do. I keep right on singing, work on the building too. We're working on a building, we're working on a building, we're working on a building for my Lord, it's a Holy Ghost building, it's a Holy Ghost building, it's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Let's sing this little chorus tonight. Just before we change the order of the service, have a couple of specials tonight I know you're going to be looking forward to. And I want to just say this, Brother Daniel and Sister Linda Nunley, along with Brother Bruce and Sister Sharon Hall, their granddaughters are here in the service with us tonight. Brother Daniel and Bruce, they can't wait to hear their granddaughters sing. And they're going to be singing for you here just in a few minutes. Also, Sister Sarah Yance has a song. Brother Daniel, these girls, Allison, Emily, and Macy, Nunley, visiting from Augusta, Georgia. And they have a song. And Brother Daniel called this morning early, and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm fixing me a sandwich." He said, "Can my girls sing tonight?" I was afraid he's going to say, "Could I sing tonight?" And I was getting ready to openly rebuke him if he's wanting to sing himself. But anyway, they're going to be singing for you here just in a few minutes. But let's sing this little chorus together. You know, it's been the talk of probably everybody, about the Supreme Court decision that was made yesterday. And when I heard that, my heart broke. And I began to cry and to weep. Not because so much of the decision that they made, but because what they're doing to the word of our Lord, what they're doing to the standard of holiness living, the standard of the Bible. My heart broke because of what they've done to our Lord, Brother Terry. They've said, "Jesus Christ, you're not welcome in America anymore." I'm so glad, though, that in our hearts, we're not really citizens of this old world. We're just passing through. We're here for a season, but our home is being prepared for us. We're citizens of another world, another kingdom. Are you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. I'm amazed that you love me. I want you to sing about it. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins, they're washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. You really Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We want Allison, Emily, and Macy to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. Sister Sarah, if you come onto the platform also, be getting ready to sing after they sing tonight. Where are they come right there. Let's give all these singers a nice hand tonight as they come to sing for us. Let's sing that one more time as they're making their way to the platform. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm so amazed how much you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins, they're washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins, they're washed away. We so enjoyed our brothers on Wednesday night from Chile that were here and sang for us. Are one of those brothers still here? Where are they at tonight? Is he in the service? Maybe Brother Danny's. Okay, I see Brother Danny maybe interpreting for him. But I think they're going to be giving us another song in the morning, how they have that arranged. But these girls are here tonight. God bless you. Give them one more hand as they sing for you tonight.
I was drifting on a sea of despair. I was wondering in the sorrow of care. Jesus heard me, heard my sinful cry. Heard me praying on my knees at night. Now I'm singing such a glad new song. Cause I'm happy as I know along. I don't know just what I do. If the Lord wasn't walking by my side, what would I do? If the tears fill my eyes, what would I do? If it's my turn to die, would I be helpless, discouraged, burdened all the way? If the Lord wasn't walking by my side every day, I'd be friendless, all alone and blue. I'd be helpless, wouldn't know what to do. I don't know just what I'd do. If the Lord wasn't walking by my side, what would I do? If the tears fill my eyes, what would I do? If it's my turn to die, would I be helpless, discouraged, burdened all the way? If the Lord wasn't walking by my side.
Amen. Certainly appreciate that song. Sister Sarah, come. Brethren, come and get the offering tonight. Appreciate you all doing that for us. We love our brothers, don't we? Amen. Let's enjoy Sister Sarah as she sings tonight.
Well, you've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They didn't worry, they kept on praying. They were serving a God that cannot fail. Then after midnight, God sent an earthquake. Those old foundations began to shake. Those prison doors flew open wide, and Paul and Silas stayed outside. Well, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fire he'll free. Like he fed 5,000 with two fish and some bread. Then he walked on the water and he raised the dead. Well, he stood by Daniel in the lion's den, and he saved old Moses from David, my God delivered, when before Goliath he did stand. He took no armor, he took no weapons, just a stone and a sling in his hand. Then he went running to meet that army. He met that Philistine man that stood mighty and tall. He said, I come in the name of the Lord, and you know that mighty man did fall. Well, he'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from the fire he'll free, like he fed 5,000 with two fish and some bread. Then he walked on.
Sing a little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Certainly appreciate our pastor. Amen. Certainly thank God for a man of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. A ministry that will stand for the truth in the face of all adversaries, all obstacles. I want to stand with that man, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this chorus tonight. It's amazing grace that's got us to this point. And His grace is going to take us all the way through. You believe that tonight? Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. All that saved a wretch like me.
Thank God for His grace to us today. I'm sure most of you feel as I felt yesterday when I heard our Supreme Court. They certainly didn't live up to their name, did they? Supreme Court. But we realize some of the greatest miracles in the Bible transpired when the government passed laws against God's people. They passed a law where a man couldn't pray one time, and they threw one of my brothers in the lion's den. And it brought out the supernatural power of God. Then passed another edict to where that some of my brothers, you know, they have to bow down before an image, and runs in my family. My brothers wouldn't bow down. Here comes Jesus right down the midst of the furnace of fire. Sometimes it takes difficult times, don't it? That's right. As Americans, we can't keep from feeling saddened whenever we see the direction that our nation has taken. Many years ago, the sanctity of life was voted out. Now the sanctity of marriage has been voted out. All kinds of other things have been voted out. Now what the next thing we're hoping to get out is us. Out. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. But we go on, don't we? That's right. Whatever they're going to do, they'll do. It's difficult to see yet, really, what this decision will, based on churches and things like that. You know, you have a lot of speculation and that sort of thing. I talked to a lawyer brother yesterday in the message, and he said it was really, really unclear yet where it will go for knotheads like me that won't do that sort of thing. That's really hard to say. I'm not sure what they'll do. I know what I'll do. You know what you'll do, right? Amen. Oh, my. But we keep on going until the last one's in and we're all mature and ready, and then they can have his place. For 3.5 years, anyway. Amen. Brother and sister, all right there here tonight. God bless y'all. Glad to see y'all. Glad to have you visiting with us down in South Africa again. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Acts tonight, if you would. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight on church discipline. Church discipline. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? Satan is a Hebrew word meaning adversary or opponent, whether in war or litigation. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Now, let's hear from Elijah. Communion, paragraph 60. You know, the hour will soon arise when right among us the Holy Spirit will speak out like it did in Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, that hour is arriving. See, just remember that. God is going to dwell among his people. That's what he wants to do now. Church discipline. Wow. Now you will agree with me, I'm sure. This is the ultimate of church discipline. To rebuke somebody, to say something to somebody, I mean, that's one thing. To be the very cause of their life leaving their body. Wow. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that in this hour of turmoil and difficulty, while a big portion of America and many places around the world are rejoicing over the decision yesterday made by our court, we're so saddened. We know that Sodom must have its influence in this nation in order to justify one-tenth of the earth ready to break off. The tidal waves will shoot plumb back to Kentucky, and the water will go plumb down to the Salton Sea. A chunk of it 300 to 400 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. In order for that to happen, we know the nation's sins must heap up till the cup is so full. But Lord Jesus, we're grateful for light and mercy and grace, because it wasn't for your grace we could be out there waving a rainbow flag. Which I think is absolutely what blasphemous thing is that they choose these colors of the rainbow, the covenant, to make their symbol. Even our White House was displayed last night in the rainbow colors. But Lord, we're so glad we're truly under the rainbow, the covenant of God. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Certainly nice to be together tonight in the presence of the Lord. Let's pick up now in verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now, I can't say that I altogether understand how this all is worded. Because actually what they're doing is not a command of God. It was not something that God said, thou shalt sell all of thy property, and thou shalt give it away, and thou shalt do this and do that. But it was something that some of the rich people in this beginning of this first church age decided to do. And Barnabas was one of them. They wanted to have a commonality among them because there was such extremity between the rich and the poor. So when the Holy Ghost come into their hearts by the new birth, they wanted to more equal it out a little bit. So they begin to think, some of the rich begin to think, you know what, I've got way too much. I don't need all of this. Why don't I divide it and sell some of mine and just put it here in the hands of the apostles and let them kind of divide it. Well, other people started doing it and others started doing it. So here's Brother Ananias and Sister Sapphira. And they too are believers. Now remember, we've been looking at war for the last several weeks in the church and how that many battles are fought from without. Many are fought from within. Satan will attack us from one battlefield to another. As it was, those of you who have been on the Revolutionary War battlefields, and I've been on some of them, you've been on the Civil War battlefields, and many of you have, maybe in Vietnam, different places, and according to whether it's jungle or whether it's rolling hills, you go up to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and you go from there down to Shiloh and Tennessee, and you go to the different places, the wilderness in Spotsylvania, Virginia, and you're saying how different that it was, what a contrast it was from one battlefield to another, and yet it was some of the same men on the side of the north and on the side of the south that fought some of the exact same battles. But the outcome was different. And some of it had to do with the type of terrain or who wound up getting the high ground. It depended on whether you was in the rocks or whether you was in the valleys. So the battlefield itself has a great deal to do with the outcome of how the battle will come. So here we find out that the devil is focusing on something within the church. Now he's learning as he's going. Remember, this is very early in the apostolic time, so it's chapter 5. So not a whole lot of time has transpired. So here Satan wants to start out by the means of impersonation. So he wants to send people among the assembly now that are acting like they are real believers. So they look the part, they're acting the part. They're really going through quite a sacrifice, and once it's the word, they're willing to sell whatever that they had, but they had talked between themselves, maybe in their home or whatever more, and they come up with this plan. We don't know for sure if it was him or her, but they both agreed together, which put them in equal as the way God looked at judgment.
So they both decide, well, what we're going to do, we're going to sell our house and our barn, our cows and our goats and our sheep, and we're going to do like everybody else seems to be doing. But what we're going to do whenever we get it all, instead of getting it all to the church, we are going to keep back a portion of this. But we're going to act like we're giving God our all. Now remember, no word commanded them to do this in the first place. There was no scripture that told them to do this. Now I want you to look how serious that God looked at this, friends. So their intention, their motive, it might have looked genuine to the average onlooker. Now, if you would have been there that day and you would have watched Ananias come in and lay this money out, and then you would have heard the words of Peter, and you would have watched this apostle say these words to this man and watch him drop dead, what would have been your opinion of this man? Would you have thought he operated out of love or hate? Now, Brother Branham says the reason Ananias and Sapphira died was because when Peter told Ananias what the Holy Ghost revealed to him, it so shocked him that it shocked him to death. It so shocked him because nobody knew it, so he thought. But the Holy Ghost knew it. Now, they make it between themselves, well, we'll get this much and we'll keep this much. Now, remember, whenever they decide to do this, the money is still theirs. If they would have just kept that much without acting like they were conveying the whole thing. You see, friend, this is the danger in us conveying things that are not truths or only half-truths and leaving out part-truths in order to act the hypocritical part. Now, look how deceiving that this actually is and how dangerous that it is. Because they were lying in the form of money. They were lying and playing the part of a hypocrite by keeping back. Now, if they want to keep back $10,000, I'll say, well, you understand it. Or $5,000, that's no problem. It's theirs. If they wanted to give God $5 and keep $50,000, that's entirely up to them. But when they got between themselves and worked out this scheme and this plan, that's what made it to where the Holy Ghost was offended by what they done. Now you imagine, of course, that the funerals and all that was so different then than what they are today. So Ananias comes in, he feels this pious thing, oh my, everybody in the church is going to think so much of me, they're going to think so highly of me. He walks right up there, he's not afraid, he's not alarmed at all. He walks right up before Peter and said, you know, we sold our property for so much. Peter said, really, did you? Yeah. Yeah, we sure did, we sold it for so much. And Peter looked at him and said, why has Satan filled your heart to the life of the Holy Ghost? Isn't it amazing there was no offer for repentance? Now your prophet that you say you believe said these days are coming among us. All I can say is it's a good thing we're not in them now. Because I feel like there'd be a lot of mess folks attending message churches. Some out of fear, some out of funerals. Woo! Oh my! Now think, friends, if God would take this serious, just about holding back money that was yours, what will God do about liars and false doctrine? What will God do about people lying on the prophet of God and writing all kinds of lies and nonsense? Where do you think they'll stand before God? Now, after 3 hours' time, they've taken Ananias now and they've buried him. Didn't even have a funeral, didn't even contact the closest of kin. They wrapped him up in clothes and take him out and bury him. After 3 hours' time, his wife comes in. Isn't it amazing now? Peter does not preach her a sermon of warning before judgment. Why would Peter not say, now look, sis, don't you lie to me. Your husband's laying out here dead. It seems as if though this man of God, who we say was full of the Holy Ghost, and his heart was full of love, it seemed he led her on. So now you, Happy Valley, what would you have thought? You're standing there listening to it, or you heard somebody tell their account of it. And then it goes out, my, but 3 hours' time, it's already went through the villages and everywhere else. You can't believe what happened in church this morning. Oh, Peter done so-and-so. You're kidding me. He killed that man. Must have been him. I mean, the man was perfectly well. The time it went through the people, oh, my. And then you're Sapphira and sin and said, don't you lie to the Holy Ghost. Now your husband's out there dead. Instead of doing that, he leads her on and said, did you sell your property for so much? Yep, sure did. He said, the men who buried your husband are standing at the back door. They're going to carry you out. Church discipline. Wow. How many wants to belong to that church? Not many, I guarantee you. That's the church of the firstborn. It ain't the First Methodist, First Presbyterian, the First Message, the First Happy Valley. It's the church of the firstborn. You see, God don't believe in playing church. We do. We believe in playing church. We believe in taking what part of the Bible we want. A lot of folks believe in taking what part of the message they want. If they don't want the rest of it, they just simply don't take it. But God don't play church. Hallelujah. Now, friends, don't get scared. As far as I know, this ain't an accident. No, y'all ain't going to die. If you're in the shape to die, repent right now and you won't have to die. Amen. It's simply that easy. Now, you imagine that the discipline of God. Now, no doubt the Holy Ghost. We know that God never brings a man to judgment. Under first, he sends him a warning. There must have been a warning somehow whenever they're talking about it, Brother West, or Ananias on his way to church that day, or Ananias from his home to where he met Peter. There had to be something somewhere that smote this man's heart, and he overrode it, and this is why that Peter, using this discernment of God, does not say, look now brother, don't you commit yourself, you repent of this. There must have been already a warning before the judgment. And what does God do? Then God actually takes the man's life. Watch in verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the... Well, what about the world? This was not world discipline. It was church discipline. Now, if this does reoccur again among us, I feel sorry for the preacher who has to do it. Now, how would you judge a man like that? Most people say he ain't got no love. Why would they say it? They're ignorant. They don't know their Bible. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when God wants to live among His people, it's not just everybody driving Rolls Royces and Mercedes and Cadillacs. God wants His word fulfilled. Now friends, do we want to be restored back to the apostolic faith or not? Or there again, do we just want to pick what part we want? This is in your Bible. I don't want this watered down lovey-dovey thing. That's what brought us where we are yesterday in America. A lot of message folks are heading the same direction. Spiritual perverts. That's exactly right. They can't take the hard preaching the gospel. Amen. Now let's look at another situation now, another battlefield. We changed from the book of Acts, and we'll go over to the book of Corinthians again. As we've already looked at the Corinthians, they were very carnal people, of course, had many problems in their church. But yet there was elect that was there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against one another that you go to law before the unjust? Now the main design of this chapter is that the carnal Corinthians, many of them of course were a Greek background. And Satan is still using and utilizing their culture, their upbringing, all of that in order to bring this warfare among them. So here was the Corinthian people, and they were having problems among themselves, and they was actually suing one another. So here Brother Skip and Brother Charlie have a problem. Instead of working the thing out, they just sue one another. Now you imagine on Sunday morning you hug a brother's neck. God bless you, brother. I'll see you in court tomorrow. They had such love for one another. They were brothers. They was all going to heaven and couldn't even speak to one another. And they were suing one another in court. Well, hallelujah. It seems that after their conversion and being led to the message of the hour, that this part of them had not been called out yet, or they had not grown into it yet. That because the Greeks, if you studied the Greeks' backgrounds, you know that the Greeks loved lawsuits. As a matter of fact, the city of Corinth was famous for the amount of lawsuits that happened in this city. So here they were living in this city, and this anointing was on this city and upon these people. And many of them were Greeks with this culture and background, and they loved litigation. They actually loved it. They loved to debate and argue. Lord, there's some Corinthians in this church or as well. Anyway, they loved to be able to go together and not just to settle a matter. To them, part of the fun of the whole thing was getting their lawyers to go back and forth and argue and fuss. They loved doing it. I don't understand that mentality myself. I'd rather sit on the back porch in a rocking chair and listen to the birds sing than listen to a lawyer. There'll be some of them saved, surely, but my Lord, to listen to a lawyer's rhetoric and fussing, and I hate arguing. I hate, don't you? I don't say any Christian full of the Holy Ghost can love arguing and fussing and debating. If you do, there's something wrong with your experience. That's right. Dare, Paul. Notice here he says, dare. Look at the word, dare. It implies it's inconsistent with the truth, with religion. Improper. Can you do it? Is it proper or right? Would you dare to do this? Would you have a matter, a subject of litigation? And instead of bringing it before the saints of God, you would actually go before the heathen to try to resolve this issue? Oh my. Dare any of you having a matter against another? Now what is this? It's another member of the body of Christ. Or another member of the church. I'm not talking about the saints of God and they're dealing with some kind of issue with the people out here at the world. But brothers were taking brothers to court. And having communion together, of course, rejoicing the message and just all that sort of thing. And yet here they were. They were so, the Greeks loved wisdom. This is part of the profound thing about the Corinthian church. They loved wisdom. They loved knowledge. And Paul is going to shame them and say, is there not a wise man among you? You love wisdom and you love all of this, and yet you think this is wisdom? By airing your church laundry out before these folks in the tribunals? Kind of makes you wonder about folks who are out there family laundry and church laundry on Facebook, don't they? You see, Paul was instructing them that they were separate. What was it? Saints acting like sinners. Oh my. Look at verse 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? You're kidding. The saints will judge the world? Now watch what he's going to do. He's going to bring a contrast of what they're doing versus what they should be doing. Do you not know the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Amen. That's right.
Notice in Daniel chapter 7 verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. My brother, sister, it ain't no wonder we gotta fight hell. This ain't gonna be handed to us on a platter. We're gonna have to take it. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah to God. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. Isn't it amazing that we are merged into the kingship and the throne of the Lord Jesus Himself, and we will judge the world?
Amen.
Notice in Matthew 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Amen.
Luke 22:28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. As Jehovah employed angels to set up the institution of the law on Mount Sinai. Listen carefully. As Jehovah employed angels to deliver the law given on Mount Sinai, so the elect of God, the bride, amen, the elect of God, the bride, will be those delegates of the law in the kingdom which is to come. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That don't mean all the bride's going to sit down in Jesus' lap, but a throne is a dominion. So to those who overcome, they will sit with him in his kingdom. We will rule, we will reign, we will judge, we will sit in the millennium. Is this the Bible truth? We will reign in the millennium. And when the millennium is over and those dead will be raised and Satan will gather together his from the four corners of the earth, and the last battle shall be begun and the great judgment shall be set, we will sit there in the dominion of Christ the Word, and we will judge angels. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Notice this, Paul says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Look what's going on at the church of Corinth. They are losing their testimony. They're losing their strength. Paul was preaching to the heathen that this gospel of Jesus Christ was outdone every other religion in the world. He was preaching that it was resurrection and life. It could change people's lives. It could make them different. It could make them like their man. And their master forgave those who talked about him. Amen. And yet these are professors who say they have accepted that pulse. And don't you see, I'm preaching this kingdom of what it is, how powerful it is, how to change people's lives. And you're living under what you say is that gospel. But you're showing to the world a complete different message than what I'm preaching. Amen. I'm preaching it'll help you to forgive one another. And you're meeting one another on the steps of the courthouse on Monday suing each other. What was it, friends? The devil was trying to move among them. Oh, my. You know, it really matters between Christians. Jesus gave us the pattern of how matters should be settled. If we'd all just read our Bible and do it, it'd be so much easier. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. What's this? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. You read it. Who? You got to be kidding me. So if Brother Terry offends me or somebody else, and then I go out and tell you and you and you and you and you, and I don't go to him, I've broke the words of Jesus. By my action, I've said Jesus don't know what he's talking about. I know better than Jesus does. Don't you know Satan loves to do stuff like that? Now, it's just your Bible. Y'all believe it, right? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Listen, Happy Valley. You as sheep have the ability to stop much of what goes on in this body. I can't do it. The deacons can't do it. The trustees can't do it. It's you sheep. If a brother or sister comes to you about a tale of somebody, well, brother so-and-so offended me, sister so-and-so done this, it's your responsibility as sheep to ask them this question. Have you talked to him about it? And if they say no, it's your responsibility to say, I will hear nothing of it until you follow the scripture. Because when you do, you are condoning their lies. And you are accepting something contrary to this Bible. What are we talking about? A different battlefield. Now, most of you would never go out and sue nobody. You're not going to go to court. I'll see you in court, Brother Wes, on Tuesday. I'm taking your coat and your cloak and your shoes and everything else. Most of us would never do that, but how many of us do this? Preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, my. Now, notice Jesus says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. Oh, it won't do no good. Do you honestly think that will excuse you from the words of Jesus? And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So if a brother or a sister trespasses against you or injures you, says something about you, starts a rumor on you, you know, whatever more, and you don't go to them first, you're not doing what the Bible says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why am I supposed to go to him or to her? You want to go. Jesus knew what he was talking about. This, friends, what am I telling you this for? This is the way to fight. This is the way to fight. Not gossip. Not rumors. Not lies. Not letting the devil get among us and sow discord. That's the devil's way of fighting. This is Jesus' way of fighting. Why am I supposed to meet with Brother John by himself instead of getting up and telling the church or telling my children or telling you or telling you or telling you? Why should I go to Brother John? Let me go to Brother John to give him an opportunity to explain to me. Or maybe Brother John had an misunderstanding or that. And what have I done? I have reserved not only his honor, but I've reserved the honor of the church. My. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. Everybody say it with me now. Alone. Alone. It won't work for you to call all your friends alone. You're alone, one alone, two alone, three alone, four alone, five alone, six alone, seven alone, eight alone, nine. Oh my. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Friends, this is not an option. This must be done.
Yes, sir. Right.
Praise the Lord. Verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now Jesus knew some folks wouldn't hear you or hear me. So then Jesus had step two. But what a lot of folks do is they jump step one and two and jump to step three. That is, tell the church. Tell the church first by means of Facebook or text or phone calls or just remember, you're breaking the word of your husband, so-called, when you do it that way. Don't condemn bob-haired women. Don't condemn women with lipstick on. Don't condemn women who wear mini skirts. If you're going to break this word, you're just as guilty as they are. Ouch. Oh, me. Oh, help us, Lord. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now what are we doing? We're leading up to what Jesus wanted this war to be fought and fought right. It's a different battleground than the lawsuit. It's a different battleground than the man in Corinthians who's living with his stepmother. It's a different battleground than Hymenaeus and Philetus teaching that the doctrine of the resurrection is past. But this is something that's among the people. And yet it coincides exactly perfectly with the rest of the Gospels. Now, he said in the mouths of two or three witnesses. Of course, this is Leviticus, also Deuteronomy 19:15. Also, Paul mentions the same thing in Corinthians, that it would be verified beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, you know what's amazing? I wonder how many church issues and even family problems, if family members would get problems there, instead of going and telling this one, that, and the other one, if you go right back to the problem, the person you have the problem with, and trying to resolve it, instead of going to step two, and then step three, and then step four, or step five, or six, or seven, wherever it is, and trying to resolve it by the Word of God. And then I wonder, before demons, if they're not a laughing stock. When they know these words of Jesus, and we claim we are the elite of the earth. And they point their finger at us and say, what about this? You're so spiritual, know so much about God. Oh my, help us, Lord. Should the matter have to go to step two, you've got the accuser there. You've also got the other two witnesses there, which are going to hear what me and Brother Jim, we'll say it this way, he can tell you. That me and Brother Jim's going to say. Now, what are they doing? They're hoping in step two that Brother Jim and Brother Amos and Brother Charlie, they're going to meet with me and whatever it was I'd done to Brother Jim. And they're hoping that, now remember this, that the church knows absolutely nothing about this yet. The church knows nothing about it yet, according to the words of Jesus. And then me and Brother Jim and these brothers, we meet and Brother Jim, now Brother Donnie, I'll tell you, buddy, you done this and you done that and the other, and I'm wanting to make this thing right. I say, Brother Jim, I ain't doing it. I'll tell you one thing right now, I'm not doing it, you can forget it. Now Brother Charlie said, now Brother Donnie, I'll tell you, buddy, I'm here as a witness. I don't want to have to be a witness against you. And Brother Amos said, Brother Donnie, I don't want to either. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. No, sir, I ain't doing it. Now here's step three. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Wow. So step three is tell the church, not step one. So when an issue comes up between you and a brother or in your family or in the church, the deacons or whatever more, and you go straight to the church and start telling people your side, you are breaking the scriptures. And those of you who listen to it are also breaking the scriptures. I'll tell you, friends, we better get ready. Only God knows what's coming our way. We better quit playing church. We better quit acting. We better get down to business with God and find out where we stand on His Word. Now notice, if he neglect to hear them, then tell it to the ecclesia. Watch this. I love this name church. I absolutely love it. One of my favorite words in the New Testament. It is assembly. A gathering of people called out from their homes into a public place. An assembly. A gathering together of people called out of their homes into a public place. Aren't you glad you was called out of your home tonight into a public place to worship and fellowship and pray and praise? Hallelujah! That's the ecclesia of God. Oh my. Notice this. Poor old devils, they probably passed out. I'm going to read it again because there's any of them left standing. A gathering of people called out from their homes into some public place. An assembly of Christians gathered for worship in, amen, for worship in a religious meeting. Is this why we're here tonight? We have gathered in this place for worship in a religious meeting. Now when the offender remains unrepentant, the offender remains stubborn and hard-headed, then it's told to the church, and not until then. Amen. But now can you imagine? A man offends another one, a sister offends a sister. So instead of the sister doing scriptural terms, this sister tells all of her friends in the church. And then this other sister hears about it, then she has to go out there and try to defend herself. So then you got two different opinions going in the church. Preach, Brother Donnie. Why? Because they broke the word. According to the word, that's not the right way to do it. Well, hallelujah. I may be needing a job after this tonight. I don't know. I don't lie. I was kind of worried about this gay marriage thing. I might be thrown in jail, but I might not have to worry about it because I might not be preaching by then. Now watch this. Brother Mammon says it this way. Look for how serious these things are. Jesus said it from your heart. You don't forgive every person their transgression, neither does your heavenly Father forgive you. Just get that close. If there's one ought in your heart against any person, sinner or saint, you're in danger of hell fire. My goodness, that is powerful. Somebody say it with me. That is powerful. Sinner or saint, you're in danger of hellfire. Oh my goodness. Can I go on? Thank you. Now, let me lay this out to you. A lot of times, saints don't know how to get rid of a pastor. Or they don't know how to accept or reject an accusation against a pastor. Hopefully you'll never need this. But if you ever do, you'll know how, from the scripture and from the message. Many people, they try to disrupt or break down churches or get in division or whatever. But they don't use the scriptural means. Now, is a preacher in a place to where he's exempt from rebuke? Of course not. You remember whenever Peter got off the word and Paul walked right up to him and rebuked him right there before everybody? The apostle Peter, is that right? Paul said he was to blame. Now, no doubt there was a right. He didn't need any witnesses or none of that. He had witnesses already there. But what if a pastor is supposedly in sin? A pastor lies, or things begin to be told to say they're lies, and some of them it's truth. And they say, well, this man's running around with this woman, or he's doing this, or he's doing that, or he's doing something else. According to the scripture and according to the message, how are you as an assembly to be able to receive that? What are you supposed to do? Y'all want to know what's the right way? Or you want your way? How many want your way? How many wants the right way? Which more likely is not our way? Now watch. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well. And the word rule is a verb meaning to be over, to preside over, to take care of. The word is used in reference to bishops. So let the elder, which was a pastor, let the elders rule well that be counted worthy of double honor or double respect. Now notice then a preacher, a man who rules well. Now if he don't rule well, he's not worthy of double honor or double respect. Now you think then of an office that would be held so in the eyes of God, that God would demand that that office, that position, was rendered double respect. That's quite something, isn't it? Then a man should live the kind of life in front of the people so that they would be able to do that. Now he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor or double respect, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, which shows there'll be some that won't quite labor as much as others. So those who do are worthy of this double honor, which lies constantly with their life committed to the word, and they're constantly in the fellowship of the Lord, and they're constantly trying to bring edification to the body. Now, of course, if I don't fit in that category, then y'all please let me know and we'll make some changes. Notice in verse 18, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now here we come to the accusation part. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. You see, a charge against a pastor of a church should not be easily received. That's right. It should not be listened to in private. Nor should it be brought before the congregation until it has went through the steps we're fixing to give you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now watch, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, and of course this would be sufficient witnesses which are true, capable of attesting the facts of whatever that he's accused of. He's committed adultery, he's lying, he's done this, that, the other, whatever it is. So the case of an elder should not be brought before you as an individual, or you by rumor, or by emails, or by text, or whatever, until it is come through the process of the word, then it would be brought before the church. Now notice how in harmony that this lines back up with what Jesus said as well. So the reason is because of the high office that an elder holds, and also, listen, it's not just for the sake of the man, but also because of the name of the church. And the reproach which would be brought upon the church, because let's just face facts, that whether a man is accused of something, whether or not he's guilty, whether or not he does it, there will always be a stigma in some people's minds about the accusation, whether it's true or not. Now, you know, a man could be accused of, you know, fooling with women or whatever he's doing. The man could be totally, absolutely proven completely innocent, but there'll be an element of people that'll always have that little doubt in their mind. And Satan knows that. That's why he wants you as sheep to bypass the plan of the word. So if you listen to something contrary to the word of God, and you told, well, Brother Donnie wasn't guilty after all. No, Brother Darrell didn't do that. No, Brother Terry didn't do that. But you see, that seed has already been sown in your heart because you allowed it to be so over the top of the word. Well, hallelujah. Now remember, friends, because of the office of the pastor and because of the honor of the church. Now if somebody brings a charge and an accusation against me and it's proven totally to be false, it's not even true at all, but yet it would get out, say somebody said, oh, I've seen now, this guy's a womanizer. I've seen him over there and do this and that and the other. And they say, no, that's not true. He was out of the country when you saw him, you say. Whenever this happened and that happened, he wasn't even here. But there have been an element of people from that point on that always watch me around women. Why? They receive that little doubt which done this in their mind. A question mark. I don't have to be guilty. I don't even have to have done anything wrong. But you received a lie. Hallelujah. Preach, Brother Donnie. Amen. You see, first the accusation made against a pastor, it must be able to be supported by witnesses. Rumor and suspicion are not enough. Let's see what Brother Mem said about it in the Hebrew series. The full and complete authority of the church is the pastor. Read that in the Bible. See if it's not Bible order. It's exactly right. There's no one above the elder. I have nothing to do with what Brother Neville does here. That's up to you and Brother Neville. Brother Neville wanted to preach Jehovah's Witness doctrine. That's up to him and you. If he wanted to preach anything he wanted to, that's between him and you. That's all. If the congregation votes him in there to preach that, that's all right. It's up to him. Well, the only thing I do is own the property. If something other comes by, like moving the pastor. Now listen, moving the pastor. Now watch, Brother Branham was the one who had the property, and he was the one that was kind of the overseer of the whole thing. But if Brother Neville wanted to preach Jehovah's Witness doctrine, the people wanted to go along with it, Brother Branham said, that's up to them. Why? Brother Branham recognized the sovereignty of the church. I said, Brother Branham recognized the sovereignty of the church. Now I said, if they want to take a vote on that, you couldn't ask a deacon to do it. You'd come and ask me. I'd come down and I'd say, you want to move the pastor? Tell me, what's he done? Has he done anything? Yes, we caught him drunk. Oh, they caught him doing something or other. Have you got?
That's right.
Yeah. This ain't enough. This ain't enough. Hello, saints. Yes, we have them witnesses. Now listen, them witnesses must first be tried. Don't receive an accusation against an elder unless it's by two or three witnesses. Let them first be proved against an elder. Then you have to swear to it. I solemnly swear before God. I saw Brother Horn smoking a cigar and drank a quart of moonshine after that and smacked Sister Horn right in the mouth with a bottle. Now tell your friends, when it comes to you raising your hand and swearing to Almighty God, this is what's required of receiving an accusation against an elder. You folks still believe the message, right? But Brother Donnie, Sister so-and-so told me, Brother so-and-so, that made me so believable, they cried. That's not what God requires.
Amen.
It's not tears. It's not your best friend. It's swearing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Donnie, what are you saying this for? So we know how to fight.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Amen.
Though the devil comes among us, it's amazing to me, friends, how folks are so ignorant of such simple things.
Right.
Now watch. Then you have to swear to it that you saw it. And prove it. That you saw it. And then if you did, then that sin is rebuked openly. Now, if somebody says they saw me or Brother Horn smoking the cigar, drinking the whiskey, hitting our wives in the mouth with the bottle, you know, whatever more that we done, and they saw it and they swear they saw it. And they can prove it. And it was facts. Then what? Next step. Then I'm brought before the church. Brother Horn is brought before the church. Then we tell the story by me, being the pastor, if it wasn't me, guilty. If it was me, guilty, then I guess it'd be some of the rest of you guys. You bring me up here and you say, Brother Donnie has been caught smoking a cigar and drinking moonshine. And despite that, he beat Sister Carol in the mouth. Two of her teeth gone. And the witnesses say, I swear I saw it. I swear I saw it. I swear I saw it. Then you are the judges. Now the tribunal has been set. And then the minister, whoever it is, or the deacon say, all right, church, what do you all want to do with this cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking, wife-beating preacher?
Yeah.
Then who makes the decision? The church. Not my family. Praise the Lord. Not my family. The church. Then if you choose to forgive me, then I stay. If you choose to give me my walking papers, then I walk. But only when it comes by God's word. Then what are we doing? We know how to fight. We know how to deal with issues when they come within. We know how to deal with them when they come without. Oh, children, my, we are faced with so many things in the day and hour that we're living. Only God knows what lays before us in the future, from within and from without. I don't know about you. I want to be ready for every one of them by the grace of God. As Paul said, we are not ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Oh, my. Notice, him, Brother Ben said, then if you did that sin is rebuked openly, if it's wrong, and say, congregation, do you want to change your pastor? And if the congregation votes forgive him, let him go on. That's the way it has to stand. But if you receive an accusation against an elder, not just your pastor, a minister, an elder, a senior minister, in this message, without this process, do you understand what you've done? You have just opened your heart to receive something. It may be true and it not may be true. And that man may have had a very sermon in a week from now that was going to change your life. But it won't change you now because it'll have no effect on you from that point on. And who's to blame? Don't blame the preacher. It's you, the sheep. You lowered down the standard and you accepted something that was contrary to God's word. Come on, children, don't be quiet. Now watch. Oh my. Brother Bram said, now if there's anything wrong in the church that you know of, some individual or some person or anything, you are duty bound and will answer before God if you don't clear that thing out. You, the church. It's not just me as the pastor. It's not just the deacons. It's not the trustees. When things are going on and wrong or whatever more, and you are partaker and propagating, God won't make me answer for it. He'll make you. Oh my, he says, think of it. Remember, that's not on my shoulders, it's on yours. Anything wrong in this church, God will make you answer for it. That's right. That's the way he runs his church. That's the way it is in the Bible. He said, that's the order of the Bible. That's the sovereignty of the local church. And the pastor is the head, he said. Notice this is an option. There's where the church is failing today on that wall. Do you know that even your own behavior can knock somebody else out of getting healed? Not just the preacher and not just that individual, but your behavior as believers. Why? We are a body. We are a family. My, you know how it is in your body. If something's going on in one part of your body, there may not be pain up here in your head if it's here in your side, but your whole body is affected by the pain and the discomfort. And that's the way it is in the spiritual body of Christ. That's the way it is in the local assemblies and the local assemblies in South Africa and Germany and all around the world. If there's something there among them and folks will not deal with sin, the disciplinary action of the Bible, it's no wonder we don't see God moving among us the way we want. How can he move? How can he move if we will not allow him to discipline our lives? And when the word comes, we get mad. Oh my. Let's go back to Corinth and then we'll go to Dairy Queen. I thought y'all would smile over Dairy Queen over Corinth. Let me close with this. Verse 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so? There is not a wise man among you. Is it so? There is not a wise man among you. No, not one. That you'd be able to judge between his brethren. So these issues are going on, and then one of them, there's not even one among you that's got enough wisdom to be able to sit down between these brothers going to court and to be able to say, look, brothers, this is not the way to do it. Let's hear the matter. Place it before us. Amen. Listen to this. Know ye not, we shall judge angels. Amen. How much more things that pertain to this life. Now listen to me as I close. The fallen angels and all of their malignity and their pride and their arrogance. They have tormented you since you got saved. And they'll continue to do so till you're changed. They'll torment your mind. They'll torment your body. They'll torment your spirit. They'll torment our church and every other church that stands for truth. But one day those angels will walk before us. And we will judge them. But to be honest, the way some of you folks judge now, and the way some of us judge, and the way message folks judge situations, I wonder if we're so easily deceived by people, I wonder if some of you wouldn't let the fallen angels walk. If we're easily deceived by people, what about a fallen angel, which is a demon? Would you have the boldness to stand up before the throne of God and say, you are condemned to fire and brimstone? Yeah. Or would that angel have the ability to go spinning a big web around you? And you'd stand there looking at him and say, I don't believe you're that bad, really. God, maybe it's your fault. According to what they said, God, you're the one who made them this way, that they really didn't have a choice. Just remember, what you are now, and the character that you are, the way we judge now, if it was picked up and set down on the throne tonight, and you would hear matters and judge them the same way you judge them now, would you let fallen devils, those who instigate sin, those who anoint people, would you let them walk? Something to think about, isn't it? Whew. As I sat the other day looking at this and studying on this, I thought, Lord, I asked myself the question, Brother Allen, if demons with such power that can be able to spin a web in such a magnificent way of deceit, if they walked up before me, Donnie Reagan, and I would hear their cause, and I was the judge of the tribunal, and they would feign to me with all their lies. And they'd spin all of this out to me. And then I would look back at this. What would I say?
Amen.
Now I want you to ask yourself the same question. How would you judge? Look at the way you judge now. That'll give you a pretty good idea. So if you hear half-truths and rumors and, you know, bits and pieces of this and that and the other, and you just judge, that gives you a good idea. Them fallen angels hope you're the ones to plead their case. But if you judge righteously and you judge by the Word of God, they hope they never have to stand before you. Because they know your judgment is like God's. And whether you judge them or God judges them, they'll get the same judgment. This is the way I want to judge in life. I want to judge as if though the Lord Jesus was here doing it. Don't you? My. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Let's bury it. Oh my. What are these things, friends? Gauges by which we check our maturity, our growth, where we are with God. Don't talk to me about your revelation. Don't talk to me about how deep you won the thunders and the white horse rider and all this, that, and the other. Let me see how you judge. Let me see how you deal with judgment matters. That tells me a lot about folks, where they are. I want you now just to think. In your present state, I mean your present ability to judge, look at the way you've judged some matters recently. You husbands, look at the way that you've judged matters in your home. Look at the way that you've made decisions about raising your children. And you've judged matters about your children and matters about your wife and just various things in your home. And see, by the way you judge those and the outcome of that judgment, how would the angels fare before you? Same with your sisters. The way you judge about the clothes you wear, the attitude you have, the other sisters who gossip, and the way you receive it. Even though it may not be facts, you don't even come the scriptural way. Maybe an accusation against me or one of these other brothers here, and you don't hold it to scripture. How would you do a fallen angel if he stood before you at the day of judgment? I can tell you how you would do unless you're changed between now and then. You judge it the same way that you judge now. By partiality. Well, this is my friend. This is my buddy. This is my daughter. This is my... No. That's not the way we judge. We judge without partiality. We judge according to truth and facts. Oh my. I would feel such a disappointment to my Lord Jesus to know that there would be such a lacking in my present character that I would let a fallen angel walk. One who's caused multiplied adulteries. One who has caused cancers, TBs, deaths, divorces. And I would let him walk because of his power of speech. Oh God. Wouldn't you feel the same way? But what about matters then here in this life? God told one of the churches in the seven church ages, you hate those things that I hate, those deeds and those doctrines of the Nicolaitans. And he said, I hate it too. God is complimenting their judgment. But they did not hate the people. God never said he hated the Nicolaitans, nor did God compliment the church for hating the Nicolaitans. But they hated their deeds and their doctrines and their doings. And God said he hated them. We want to love what God loves, hate what God hates. If God calls something sin, we want to call it sin. If God says it's okay, we want to say it's okay. This measures, friends, our maturity. And it shows where we are in our readiness for the rapture. That the Father can give the bride the check, and your name on the check is as good as his. How is that done? By a son's judgment. Of being able to make business calls and look at matters and say, well, this is this way, and this is that way, and that's that way. Judgment calls. That's what God is demanding of all of us. Not just the preachers here. Not just the preachers around the message, but you sheep have the ability to propagate much of this stuff or stop it. You can stop much of what goes on in this church, much of what goes on in your family, in your home. You have the ability to stop it, if you will. Or you have the ability to be a carrier. It's entirely up to you. Heavenly Father, I realize, Lord, that this kind of preaching certainly isn't very well liked and wanted. This is why our nation is where she is today. Years ago, when we had preachers that stood and preached the truth, they still call for preachers to come and offer prayer and ask for counsel. Lord, our founding fathers would never believe what our nation has turned into. And many of our veterans, Lord, that's lost eyes and arms and legs, and some of them even part of their sanity, fighting for our freedom. Some of them paid the ultimate price and gave their life. If they could see some of those guys in World War I and II and Vietnam and Korea and all those things, if they could have saw where the nation was going, would they wonder, would it be worth it again? If they could have seen, and only you know, what the next few years, if time would tarry even holds, how it will worsen. We've turned a corner, Lord, and we know it. Lord Jesus, I pray that we as a church would not follow the ways of the world and go the same way. Because everybody wants everything easy. Make nobody mad, hurt nobody's feelings, don't say nothing straight, don't correct folks. Because if you do, they'll blow it out of proportion. They'll make you look like a devil. They'll make you look mean. And there's always an element of people that'll sit there and believe it. So I imagine, Lord, a lot of the folks in Happy Valley or other churches around the message, they would have never went back and heard Peter preach again, because Peter calls what they would think the lives of two innocent people to be taken from them. He would have been considered to be hateful, mean, contrary, but he was simply following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Do I understand it? I do not. Do I understand all the particulars? I do not. And I don't need to, because I'm not a message scientist. I'm a message believer. I don't have to have all the facts explained to me. I don't have to see it all through a microscope. I trust you, and I trust your men. So therefore, Lord, I don't have to have everything explained to me. I just simply take you at your word. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us fathers. Help the mothers. Help the deacons, the trustees, the sheep, every preacher here in our assembly, not only ours, Lord, but those around the world. Father, help each of us that we can take the discipline of the Word of God. As we go on in time, sermons like this will be so foreign. No doubt the congregations will get smaller and smaller of the preachers who preach them. And the congregations, I figure, will get bigger and bigger for those who just have a lovey-dovey type of gospel, and you never rebuke nobody, never correct nobody, and nobody ever gets mad at you. As the prophet said, that's a dish rag. Lord, let me die first. If I've got to stay here at Happy Valley and be a compromiser, I'll quit preaching. I'll go out and pick up pop cans. I'll lay stone. I'll build cabinets. I'll make furniture. I'll do something else, God. I'll move out of that house that belongs to the church. I'll live in a tent on the side of the road. I'll not sell my soul to no devil. You've done so much for me, Lord Jesus. I owe you my all. Hallelujah. I am not a secret believer. I am not a secret preacher to keep all really what I believe to myself. No. I've got to cry aloud and spare not. Help us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, if I've ever received an accusation against anyone without coming this scriptural pattern. I know some of these people here at the church have, just like I no doubt have. Some of them may not have the ability to ask you to forgive them, but I'm going to ask you. Because, Lord, when I'm wrong, I want to say I'm wrong. So, Lord, I ask you, for every time that I failed Matthew 18, forgive me. If I've ever received an accusation against an elder, forgive me, Lord. For any mistakes and failures that I've made, forgive me, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else in here besides me want to say the same thing? Don't just raise your paw. Get up on your feet. I don't want to see your paw hanging up in the air. Stand up on your feet. But does that mean I'm lost? I hope not, because that means I am. And probably means about every other Christian around the world is. But it means we ask the Lord to forgive us. And we learn by it. And we don't do it again. Praise the Lord. Wow, we judge things by the Word. Not by feelings. Not by emotions. Not by kinship or friendship. But by His Word. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Now let's just raise our hands. Remember what church is. People who are called to an assembly who have left their homes, that have been called out to a certain place to worship in a religious service. Amen. Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Lord, we do love you with all of our hearts. We don't mean to break your word. We don't want to break your word. We want your word to be the ultimate of our life. Lord, I know why I've done it sometimes. I'm sure why they've done it. People come to us telling us things weren't exactly right according to the pattern of the word. We didn't want to hurt that person's feelings, so we'd sit and listen to it. But instead of hurting theirs, we hurt yours. We was more concerned about their feelings than we was yours. We should have stopped them right there and said, now look, this is not according to the pattern of the scripture. I cannot receive this against my sister. I cannot receive this against Brother Terry. I cannot do it. But we're so afraid of hurting their feelings, so we just broke the scripture on account of their feelings. Forgive us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us tonight and pardon us. Oh, Jesus, come by this way tonight, would you, Lord? We don't want to be like our nation. We don't want Ichabod written over this church door the way it's written over this nation. Lord God, I was reading just yesterday, well, they've got a bomb that they say that they may have to contemplate using on Iran's nuclear capabilities. According to what the article said, the bomb alone weighed 30,000 pounds. A bomb weighing 30,000 pounds. And I thought, if that's what they're telling that they've got, and this is public information, what do they have and what does Russia have that we don't even know anything about? One day this building, Lord, will melt. The sheetrock will fall off. The shingles will burn. The lights, the electrical wires, this carpet, these pews where we have sat. Atomic ash will be laying here, no doubt, knee deep. These beautiful hills of Tennessee will be blasted to smithereens. Lord God, Happy Valley Church will nowhere to be found. The homes that we've lived in will be annihilated. But Lord God, before one of those bombs ever leave the hangar, hallelujah to God, we won't need Happy Valley Church no more. We won't need our homes no more, because we'll have another home. Lord, this is what matters to us more than anything else, being ready to leave this world. Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. We worship you. May our church always have an attitude that we want to be corrected when we're wrong. May we have an attitude that we don't want a pastor or preachers that are pushovers and are political puppets that always say the right thing. Lord God, may we always have a desire to feed under the ministry of real men of God. Oh, they may burn us, they may scorch us, but yet, Lord, we know them. We know them. We know they're doing it because they love us. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You love Him, children. You love His Word. Even when it spanks you. Even when it corrects you. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just worship Him a little bit now, can we? Let's just close our eyes now. Oh, I know it's been a little bit of a paddling on us tonight. But let's just see if he won't come near us and pour the oil and the wine in our wounds and kind of heal us up a little bit. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord, for you're worthy. We know you said in Revelation 3, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. Once again, Lord, we know you must love us here at Happy Valley. Amen. You didn't give us a Mercedes sermon or a Cadillac sermon or a Lincoln sermon. You give us a whipping sermon. Amen. Which is a sign of your love. You don't whoop up on serpent seed because that's not your responsibility. But you sure do whoop up on yours. Hallelujah. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you. We are part of your church, your ecclesia. We have left our homes and we've come here tonight to worship, to pray, to adore, to praise. We're not here to adore any man. We're not here to worship any man. We're here to worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Jesus, we worship you together, Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my King. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord God. Our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Husband, our Lord, our Maker, our First, our Last, our Alpha, our Omega. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember this bride, part of her identification is she has these banners of war. She has banners of war. And she will fight. She'll fight darkness. She'll fight error. She'll fight sin. She is his protector. We are not like Delilah. Samson laid his head in the lap of Delilah and lost his covenant. But the Lord Jesus can lay his head in the lap of the bride. And she will say, stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Jesus has no fear of his covenant being removed to the lap of his bride. She is his protector on the earth. She will stand and give her life if need be. You remember reading about the Apostle John, called the Apostle of Love. I wonder sometimes if we understand what love is. Yet there was a man who was causing great trouble in the church. John went into a public bathhouse. John heard that man talking in that bathhouse. And John said to the brothers that was with him, let's leave this place before the judgment of God strikes this place with us in it. The Apostle of Love. Oh my. Why? He's part of the bride. Nobody can love like the bride, but nobody can fight like her too. I'm not talking about fighting each other. I'm talking about fighting sin and fighting wrong and debauchery and the evil of the world. Oh, glory to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. I worship you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Prince of Peace, Almighty God. Let's sing it now. There is none like. Amen. Close your eyes now. Raise your hands. I would. Let's start at the beginning of it there, Brother Larry. Almighty God. Why? There is none like you.
I worship you. Amen. Oh, Prince of Peace, that is what I long and want and desire to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Let's worship him now. I worship you Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We adore you tonight, Lord. We magnify you. It's evident our nation don't want you no more. Our courts don't want you. Our justice system, so-called, don't want you. But Lord, we want you. Many of the churches don't want you. Many of the nations of the world don't want you. They've proven your definition of marriage. They don't want your definition of life. They don't want your definition of holiness and purity. They don't want your definition of how a church should be run. They don't want, but we do. We do, Lord. You sent us Elijah so our hearts could be restored back to that original faith. And we thank you for it tonight, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. In this day of darkness, oh, Jesus, we thank you for the light. We thank you for the light, Lord God. Once again, it is you that said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There is none like you. Once again, let's sing it. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Sing it from your hearts, children. I worship. You're the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And we're the Shulamite. We're your wife, Princess of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give all my praise, glory, for you are my righteousness. I worship. Glory to God. Almighty God. There is none like. Well, I'm singing glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down. Let's sing a little bit now. Yes, it's glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down. Better since I've laid my
Johnson. I laid it down. Oh, I said it's glory. Oh, hallelujah. Since we've laid our burdens down. Oh, yes, it's glory. Hallelujah. Since I've laid my burdens down. Well, I feel better. Don't you now? So much better. Since I've laid my burdens down. Oh, I feel better. So much better. I've laid my burdens down. And let's just imagine it this way. After that rapture morning, we want to write another verse of this song or sing this chorus just a little bit different. Will I feel better? Oh, so much better since I laid my mortality down. South Africa, be no turning back. Be no turning. Oh, that's the way they do it there. Yeah. Well, be no turning back. Be no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. No turning, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Glory! Oh, be no turning back. Be no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Amen! The world behind me, no turning, be no turning back. No matter what the Supreme Court says, no matter what the President says, no matter what everybody else says, glory, oh, be no turning back. Oh, be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's sing together, pressing on as we get ready to leave service in the morning 11. Appreciate you being here in the house of God. Trust you enjoyed the word tonight as well as you can enjoy us. Thank you. Amen. Appreciate the grace of God to us. Let's sing it together as we go. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I'm going to keep pressing on. Let that be your determination. Pressing on. This pride is pressing on to the higher calling of our Lord. Everybody, oh, we're going to keep pressing on. Something down inside of me is pressing. There's no need for you to go on, no need to try. Even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but I just say, Satan, that proves you're a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Inside of me is present.